Before we get into this MMA episode with John, Happy New Year if you are listening to this at the start of January. And a shout out to everybody who's in the crazy fire stuff that's going on in particularly east coast of New South Wales and into Victoria. Our thoughts are with you and we hope you get through it okay. And just on that, if you are listening and you've got a spouse or a partner or somebody that you know who's a firefighter, volunteer or paid, who listens to this podcast ordinarily, can you flick me an email, glenn.james@sortyourmoneyout.com, just with their name and a little bit about them, because I'd like to give them a shout out when this crap settles down. And I might chat to John to see if we can do something cool, not sure. But yeah, I'd really like to know if there's any listeners in our community that are firefighters. Keep well and keep with one another and keep safe. Now, two other things. I trust you've seen via our Facebook group or this podcast or Instagram that we have launched My Millennial Career. We've had so much positive feedback to Shell and Em as they've launched the first few episodes of My Millennial Career. So make sure you jump over, subscribe. And if you do listen on Apple and you do like it and you think it's pretty cool, would love a little review just to let other people know a little bit about it so it can help them. And finally, in February the 6th, John and I and the M3 team, we're coming to Sydney. So if you are keen on coming to an M3 IRL in real life, we are doing that Sydney. We're doing it at Finder head office. So thanks to Finder for helping us with that. And we've got a live event partner, Your Home Financial Solutions. So we'll be answering your mortgage questions as well. So if you are interested in coming along, these tickets are limited and we limit these tickets because of venue sizes and we want to keep it intimate. So I think we've only got under 50 tickets. So they're going to go fast. So you better get onto it. There'll be a link in the show notes for M3 IRL in Sydney. Welcome to My Millennial Answers. I'm Glenn James. You're with John Pigeon as well. I don't know where half these bloody questions come from, but the first one...
We don't make them up.
We don't make them up, but no. This one, it's coming from Healthy Happy Habits. I'm 25 and have 175K saved in the bank. That's savage. I've always wanted to buy. She's a Sydney gal, but feel conflicted. It doesn't look like I can buy something decent where I'd like to live, 2-bedroom. So maybe I should invest in a not so desirable area and rent it out. I have no clue about suburbs that are good to invest in at the moment. Where can I go to find some trusted resources to find out more information? Or should I give up on my property dream for the moment and look at shares? Or why not have both?
Why not have both? Healthy, happy habits.
So do you want to speak to that more around the rent vesting and her situation? 25-year-old Sydney gal with a whopping 175K saved.
Yeah.
And we don't know if it was inherited or whatever.
Well, saved hopefully means that she has got some sweat and tears over it. Mm. So well done. Congratulations on that achievement. But yeah, you're right. 175K as a deposit doesn't get you a McMansion in Sydney, does it? So first thing I'd say is, where is your long-term home? Do you know where that is? What suburb is it in? And what does it look like? If we can't get in there, which sounds as though you probably can't, then maybe we need to look at rent vesting, because 175 as a deposit gets you into a lot of property markets or cycles around the country as we speak. Now, that may mean also looking outside of Sydney market. As we know, in the last 3 to 4 years, it's had quite an amount of growth and the actual momentum isn't slowing a lot at the moment due to a lack of supply on the market. So I would be saying to myself, right, I want to invest in property. Don't give up on that dream. We've just got to look outside the square a little bit more, which probably means getting out of Sydney to go and do that. Right, now, where do I go for help? I'm your answer, basically, is what I'm saying here.
No, but in all seriousness, like, you've got 175K saved. Mm. You want to get serious about buying a property. You know, if you're going to spend 500 grand on a property, why wouldn't you spend 3.5 grand and work with John for 12 months.
Well,
like if you are serious.
Yeah, if you're serious, absolutely. And that'll be very personalized. I'm not here to sell the product, but even the online academy for $3.99 gives you ability to learn a hell of a lot more about property cycles than what we're reading in the newspapers right now. Hotspots and not spots, property strategies, all those sort of things. So it opens your world up to a whole range of opportunities and gets us to think outside of the box, but dig deep about what you actually want as a person and what are your lifestyle goals over the short term, long term. So yeah, the last part of it is, do I just give up and go into shares? Well, if you enjoy shares and you can understand it and you can own it like you do property, then absolutely knock yourself out. You can buy a truckload of shares for $175,000. Is that going to be the best outcome for you, for you to be able to sleep at night and be comfortable with that?
Have you finished?
I have.
Yeah, sweet. I wasn't listening. I was trying not to sneeze because my mouse, I had to spray like WD-40 in it because it was squeaking. But yeah, I would probably... I don't know. You've just got... Yeah. If I was in your situation, if you are listening, whoever you are, I'll do a clarity...
Triple H.
Yeah, Triple H. I'll do a clarity call with John because, you know, there's too much going on. You've clearly got good savings habits. You're clearly good with managing your money. You're clearly switched on, but you just need some direction.
Mm.
So, have a clarity call with John. Spend the hour with him. And, yeah, it's... a good position. Hegs, what to do with an inheritance when you're not ready to buy for another 12 to 18 months as you're a full-time student, intermittent part-time / casual employee till basically the end of the year. So we'll just say like you've got some money. On My Millennial Money, we did a full episode on inheritance and I should have referenced it, but if you just scroll down, you'll see it there.
Yep.
The episode's called Cashing In on That Juicy Inheritance.
Huh.
Now, I would probably say what to do with an inheritance. And you clearly won't buy for another 12 to 18 months because it's sounding like you want to buy a house. You're going to need an income to assumedly get a mortgage to add to that inheritance if it isn't enough just to, you know, pay outright.
Yeah.
I would probably just put it in an online savings account in a different bank that's already in your ecosystem and forget about it.
Mm.
Delete the app off your phone. Don't have the internet log in. Pretend like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing that you can get into, and I don't think you will because you've actually asked this question and you have a bit of a long-term plan in place. So, you're certainly not as loose as what I am. But yeah, just if you've got any little lingering debt or credit cards, yeah, sure. Clear that.
Yep.
If you've got a piece of crap car, maybe upgrade slightly. You know, if it's a $300,000 inheritance, I'm making a number up. Yeah, sure. Buy a $15,000 secondhand car, good quality with cash. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
But just don't death by a thousand cuts. Like, don't. And I don't think you will. So, out of sight, out of mind. That's the best thing to do. And over the next year, how can you research it? Might be John's online Solvair Wealth Property. I don't even know what's it called. It's his online course. Okay.
Yeah. I think there's...
And there's a link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out.
Yeah. We put a... In this world that we're living in, I just get the feeling a lot of people are just wanting to do things next week, next month, and not holding off for 12 months, 18 months when it's practical because we think life's going to end, right? We want it tomorrow, don't we? So it's a 20, 30 year, 40 year, 50 year plan, right? 18 months is going to make bugger all in the whole scheme of things, isn't it?
Totally. But use this time to research.
Yeah.
I want you to be open. Like if you are buying a house to live in, for example, over the next 18 months, make your own spreadsheet, look at the suburb and track properties.
Mm.
Like John talks about some outrageous thing about looking at 100 properties. I mean, that's, to me, that blows my mind, but you've got time and it doesn't cost money. So, what if you started And I'm not saying go to inspections, but keep an eye on the real estate apps, set alarms with new ones in your area, come up for sale. Just see. And you could even rate them. You could be like 2-bed, 1-bath.
But even step back a bit and say, well, what are my goals? What do I want to achieve? If it is buying a property, like, am I going to rent vest? Am I going to buy to live in? Like, thinking outside of the square for different options to then drill back into what I think I'll do in 18 months' time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really good. And as well, like, I'm kind of, with the inheritance thing, I'm maybe of the view that when you spend the money, would it put a smile on the person's face who gave it to you? So I'm not talking about going and buying cocaine and having a snow party. I mean, you do you, but whatever, John. I'm talking about if it was 300,000. I'm just making up a number.
Yep.
Let's carve out 20 grand. Let's buy the new car. And new, I mean secondhand. You're at uni, so, or whatever, full-time student. So, yeah, sure. Spend the 2 grand or go on a nice little holiday or do Europe for 6 weeks after you've... You know what I'm saying, John? Like, just carve out a portion to enjoy and buy an experience
10%.
That you could only do... 10%, no more than 10%. It's probably a good rule, I guess.
Yeah.
Below 10% on experiences,
yep.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nancy, my husband, who bought 2 investment properties prior to our marriage, wants to purchase another. Well, he's thirsty, isn't he? I'd like to start paying down some of the debts we already have, e.g. our car and our house. He's either way wrong. He's 27, she's 25, and baby is 3 months.
Just not getting too much sleep. Nancy's a bit stressed, I can feel. Husband's gung-ho with his property journey, and we've got a 3-month-old that's not sleeping, maybe.
Yeah, maybe daddy needs to just press pause on wanting to take over the world for 12 months.
Daddy, get going, no, daddy.
I just wanted to say daddy.
Yeah, who's your daddy? So I think the part of that that says, well, we've got car debt.
Yeah, that's got to go.
We've got to get rid of that, don't we? Unless we're a business owner, we can claim some deductions. I mean, yeah, we need to seriously look at the bad debt in our life and get rid of it. The house is, I'm not sure if that's the home we're living in or she's talking about one of the investment properties. I'd be reluctant to pay massive chunks down on our investment property if we're saving for our own home to live in. Or we've got car debt. We need to get rid of that first, don't we? So, no, not either way is wrong. I would be pushing for that third property if husband wants it, but we need to ensure that our finances are in order. We've got buffers in place. We've got bad debts removed from our life, and we've got a clear path forward. Again, I'm presuming there's only one income here with Bubs at 3 months old.
Yeah, and again, and I've said it 1.5 billion times, I ain't no relationship expert, but I'll pretend to be right now. I think regardless of the question, there's a seed of doubt in Nancy's mind. So the question is, are we both on the same page with our goals?
Yeah, that's right. And they may be living totally separate lives when it comes to communication about money. So you may just need to grab a glass of wine.
And you and Amy. Oh, sorry.
No, that's financial abuse.
Yeah.
No. Retracted. But just that simple communication, isn't it, around finances and the journey. What's the next 5 to 10 years look like? How many kids are potentially we're having? Are we thinking about kids' schooling? All those things that I'm entrenched in at the moment.
Yeah, totally. Mia asks, how do you know what companies to research when looking for stocks to invest?
Your one.
Yeah. I mean, I am very reluctant to buy single stocks because I think the risk is not worth it. If you were buying single stocks, I probably would do it with less than 10% of my net worth outside of my home. Just because, and I'll give you an example, John. I've got 50 grand to invest and I buy Telstra shares with 25 grand and CBA with 25 grand.
Yeah.
Telstra could take the biggest hit on the planet, yeah, and half of my wealth has taken the biggest hit on the planet. So I like the idea of ETFs, exchange traded funds, or like a managed fund, or something that spreads out the investment. So an ETF might invest in 200 different companies. Yes. So it will be a smoother process. But
so when you talk about money invested outside of your own family home.
Sure.
Are you saying, okay, I've got 100 grand in the bank.
Yeah.
No more than 10% of that. Yep. So 10 grand is what I'm going to risk in single stock shares.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And the same type of logic I would do with precious metals, you know, gold, diamonds, and all that stuff. Okay. Because when it's so speculative, and I put single stocks in a risk portion of speculative in terms of the risk that it could go up and down.
Yeah.
Single stocks.
Like ASX 200 you're talking, or just general stocks?
Any single stock.
Yeah.
I personally believe there's a lot of risk.
Right.
And that's why we need to quarantine that risk.
Yeah, okay.
But that's not for everyone. That's just what I do. I mean, there's a company that I'm looking at that I am tempted to put some money in, but it's only for personal interest.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to turn into a thing. I'll rephrase. I don't want the danger to be that Glenn James thinks he's an advanced stock trader and well-researched.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm quarantining that to 10% of my net worth, just as a guide, because there's data, and I'll just get it up now while everyone's listening.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, I probably work around about 2-3% investing in single stock shares, because I clearly know nothing about it. All right, now I'm looking at my portfolio here as we speak. I bought some NAB shares 4 years ago for $29. Today they're $25, right?
Yeah, but the bank, it's a dividend play. It's not a
It is, yeah, and it's a long term play, but coming back to your point, it's a bit of play money on the side. It's not the focus of our future wealth.
There's a study that Berkeley did, and I forget the name of it, but they actually studied, it was the risks of individual investing, the risks.
Right.
But basically, what I'm getting at is, statistically, if you will not beat the index in terms of return.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm getting at. Like, when looking for stocks to invest, if you are interested in some company, like A2 Milk has just gone off the planet.
It has, isn't it?
And like, Afterpay, all these companies have just gone off the planet.
Is that because they need milk in China or something?
I think so. I think a Chinese, I don't know, I forget. There was another
formula
company.
Formula milk or something.
Yeah, there was some. Anyway, but I guess what I'm saying is, if you buy one stock and it goes through the roof, you think you're a complex sophisticated investor.
Yeah.
You're probably lucky.
Yeah.
Where if you had that 100 grand, why would you want to manage it yourself when the data shows that you will not outperform the index?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair.
And I wish I could, I'm going to pause this recording and I'll come back with what the study is so I can show everyone. So hang on one sec. All right, I found it. I'm back.
Cool.
It's, if you Google, and I'll put it in the show notes, the link to it. It's an article called Trading is Hazard to Your Wealth. And it is by a dude, the Journal of Finance. If you Google Trading is Hazardous to Your Wealth, Berkeley, Trading is Hazardous to Your Wealth, the Common Stock Investment Performance of Individual Investors. And it was this huge study, like it's a 35-page document. And it's got, see this here, John, it's got the average individual with the turnover. They do some turnover. And the S&P index fund, look at the net and the gross returns.
So the individual's a lot lower.
Yeah. So the net return of the S&P 500 is higher than the individual average.
Yep. over X amount of people studied.
Yeah. I mean, and they just use the Vanguard index. So. Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing, like, and it shows you here the frequencies. So, the the people that do high turnover trading, if you look at the, look at this, that black line there, net return, high turnover, bam. But the people who have low turnover,
better return.
Better return, but yeah, still, on average, you will not beat the index.
Yeah, there you go. Interesting. Good facts right there.
Yeah, so research. But again, like your ComSec and all that, if you do want to research individual stocks, ComSec, E-Trade, all the online brokers, they've got research and stuff.
Yeah, knock yourself out.
Yeah, but keep the risk quarantined, I would say. All right, bye.